Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, coming up around 12:40 today, we're joined by one of the nation's leading go-to experts for weight loss resistance. So if you're struggling losing those pounds, JJ Virgin says there's no joy in soy and your body's not a bank account. It's a chemistry lab. She has a new book out called The Virgin Diet. She says if you drop seven foods, you'll lose 7 pounds in just 7 days. And most importantly, we'll find out what those seven foods are and learn why she says food intolerance is the real cause of weight gain. A lot of it makes a lot of sense when you know what she's talking about. First, we're going to talk with Joanne Fleischer, author of Living Two Lives, Married to a Man and in Love with a Woman. Joanne has a license in clinical social work from Bryn Mawr Graduate School. For over 20 years, her private practice has specialized in women's issues and gay lesbian concerns. Joanne herself was leading the typical suburban wife and mother life until she fell in love with another woman and her world was turned upside down. Her journey of navigating through that led to the outstanding work she's doing now to help others through the same situation and to an update of her book, Living Two Lives. Joanne Fleischer, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Vicki. Glad to be here.
We're pleased to have you here. You're joining us from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So let's, Joanne, I think, begin with your story, because you were in a situation where you were living the typical suburban life. You have two little girls, ages 7 and 9, and this happened in 1978. Which is quite a while ago now, so I'm guessing times were very different. Well, I know they were very different back then.
Yes, they were.
And so you're living this life, and all of a sudden you discover that you are attracted to another woman. Tell us what happened for you.
Okay. Well, at that time, I did fall in love or with a woman who was a friend, and I actually didn't know anything about anybody who had been married and had gone through this experience, and it didn't initially make me think, oh, I am a lesbian. I just was very confused and had realized that I had discovered a different, more fulfilling kind of relationship than I'd ever had, and didn't know what to do about it. And what I ended up doing was kind of searching around, looking. I called a gay and lesbian hotline and broke out crying when I said I fell in love with a woman, and they asked me, what are you crying about? Because they didn't have any idea what would be hard about falling in love with a woman when you're married.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't any easier in the gay community than it was in the straight community. So I really had to kind of do a lot of this figuring things out on my own.
It sounds, from what I've read and the articles I've read, and I actually did see you on Oprah when you were on there some time ago, but it sounds as though you had a fairly happily married. You weren't hating your husband.
No. And I think, in truth, from all the many, many women that I've talked to, I would say the large majority of the women have a very good feeling about their husband. I mean, my husband, I knew since I was 13 years old. So even though we were married for 12 years, I'd known him for a very long time, and he was almost like a member of the family. So we were very close in many ways. But I had always felt like there was something missing, that I was missing something that it seemed other people had, you know, that spark or that passion of falling in love.
Right. So you say that you had an affair with this female for about 3 months. And mm-hmm. at that point, did you tell your husband, Joanne? What happened?
Well, I didn't initially. It was, I just didn't. I would say I went for about two, I think it was about 2 or 3 months that I kept it quiet. And then, you know, it was so much against my basic ethics. I couldn't live that way. So I did tell my husband, and actually it was a relief to have it out in the open, and we knew that we needed to do something to figure this out, what we were going to do.
And so you went to, what, counseling, a couples therapy?
Yeah, we went to a therapist, and, you know, it was somebody that I'd been to before, and he worked with, well, we started out in couples, but, you know, I think we maybe had one session, and he said, I think this is an issue that you need to really figure out what the meaning of this affair is. And he really worked with my husband separately and me separately because he felt like I needed to come to some kind of understanding and decision, and he needed to help my husband, you know, decide for himself also what that meant to him.
Right, definitely. So did you decide that, you know, the feelings had been latent in you and they were brought to the front with this woman, or was this just a change for you? I mean,
well, it actually was a change for me. I don't think I necessarily represent the largest proportion of women. You know, many women that I've talked to, you know, do a kind of retrospective examination and realize that there were some clues, or maybe they even suspected something, but they just didn't pay a lot of attention. For me, I really had no idea. I mean, this was brand new information for me, but I think, you know, I almost think of myself as, you know, I moved so quickly through the natural stages of what was expected of me. I got married at the age of 22, and right after college, and started raising a family, young kids. And so I don't think I really had spent any time figuring myself out very mm-hmm. much. So I think this was a maturity issue for me. Like, I finally had time to look at myself and ask myself some questions
right.
about how life was really going.
Right. From your perspective, without just following other people's expectations. So we're going to take a very quick break. We're talking with Joanne Fleischer. She is the founder of LavenderVisions.com, which is an online counseling resource for people all over the world who are questioning their sexuality. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967 because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
Want a faster metabolism? Desperate for more energy throughout the day? Food is our most powerful medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition Radio, I'll answer your burning nutrition questions and offer real solutions for your family. On Passionate Nutrition Radio, you'll learn how to transform how you look and feel with the foods that you eat. My name is Jennifer Adler, and I'm a nutritionist, chef, and founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 6 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Join me on Passionate Nutrition Radio for a weekly serving of nutrition wisdom. Learn more at PassionateNutrition.com.
That's Passionate Nutrition every Friday at noon.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, the Saltwater Buddha. In his new book, The Fear Project, award-winning journalist Jamal Yogis sets out on a chain of wild adventures to better understand fear. Why does it so often dominate our lives? What makes it thrive? And is there a way to use it to our advantage? Then switching from adventures and fear to food, think spicy chicken with green olives from Morocco, bandit slam from Greece, Portuguese pulled pork. Think conversationslive.net every Monday at noon Pacific.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The world. They can have their diamonds and we'll have our pearls.
I kissed a girl. And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. We are talking with Joanne Fleischer in this segment. She's a licensed clinical social worker. She has a license in clinical social work. And she was a married woman with two young children leading the life of a typical suburban wife and mother until she fell in love with another woman. And as you can imagine, that turned her world upside down. Now, this happened in 1978. Since then, Joanne has formulated Lavender Visions, which helps married people around the world who may be questioning their sexuality. And she's written a book, this is an updated version, called Living Two Lives, Married to a Man and in Love with a Woman. And Joanne, you say there are a lot of people going through this struggle.
That's right, yeah. I have a message board, or it's an online community, and there are over 1,000 people who are participating in conversations that, and I talk to women all the time. It's becoming more and more open, probably, and more common public knowledge at this point.
Mm. So tell us a little bit about the book, about why you updated, and then I want to talk about how this kind of situation impacts children, because I think, and you said during the break, that is the number one question that people have.
Right.
Why did you write the book? Why did you update it?
Well, I wrote the book because I had no place to turn myself, and I really felt like, I mean, I wrote the book as a guide and in a tone that was meant to help women figure out the questions they needed to ask themselves, the questions I asked myself and needed to figure out in order to go through this process. So I did that in 2000. It was published in 2005 after working on it for a couple of years. I ended up having to rewrite it because the publisher was basically was not paying me my royalties. So I took the rights back to my book, and I thought it was a perfect opportunity to update things because our culture has really changed dramatically since I first wrote the book. There really are, the computer is so present today, and so I used the opportunity to kind of make the discussion more current and to add a little bit to some of the issues that I was talking about in the book, and also to update the resources. There are a lot of online resources that I add and books that I've added to the resources in the book.
Okay. And so let's talk about the children in the situation, Joanne, because anytime anybody goes through a divorce, you know, the primary concern should be the children. How did this affect your kids when you were going through, and you didn't stay with your initial partner, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So you were divorcing as a single woman then at that point?
Yes, I was, I I think, well, my children were 7 and 9 years old at the time when I separated. And actually, I have found almost at any age, when women are going through this or anybody's going through this, the first and foremost concern of the kids is the divorce itself. The sexuality issue, my kids were young enough that it was a shift for them, but it wasn't very hard for them to grow into feeling that. I did meet my long-term partner. Actually, I met her about 3 months after I physically separated from my husband, and we had a 30-year relationship. I say it in the past because she died a couple of years ago. But so my kids didn't have a terrible time accepting my sexuality. They did. They went through what any children go through around separation and divorce. It was a change for them, and they, you know, I would say it took them a few years to really get comfortable with adjusting to two households. They were comfortable, completely comfortable with my relationship with my partner at home. But when they reached adolescence and or even before that, they were reluctant to share it with the kids that they were with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an issue that is often true for kids, not wanting to be different. I think it's probably somewhat different today. There's much more open discussion today about people, about there being gay people in the world. But for my kids, it was very hard. They kept it hidden from their friends until they left their high school, actually.
Right. And I'm wondering if it's almost more difficult for adult children to wrap their head around, because when you get to a certain age, for example, my parents divorced, they just divorced when I was 25. That's all I'd known for 25 years was mom and dad. And then suddenly they're two single people again. And so your whole world, as you know, it is upside down. And I shared with you in the break that I do know a couple of people who currently are not speaking to their mother because she left their father after a very long-term marriage for another woman. And there's all that judgment involved in it.
I think there is, and I do a lot of work with clients around the importance of saying enough that your kids will depending upon what age level and what's
sure.
appropriate, but that they might have some understanding about what happened for you. I think that very often the way that people communicate has everything to do with how it's going to be accepted. And I have to work with some people about being a little bit more open than they think they should be, about how hard this process actually is, and that it's not something that people do lightly. So I do think that it takes time and a lot of work around communicating and trying to get some openness going. And a lot of that has to do with how open your relationship is to begin with,
mm-hmm.
with your children.
And of course it helps if your husband, you're separating from a husband who is, willing to take that journey with you and speak openly without being derogatory in any way.
That's true of any divorce. That's true. And it also, I think that it becomes more difficult if for some reason, let's say the kids were raised in an extremely religious family, that there are any number of situations that can make it a little bit more difficult for the kids to make that shift.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the most common things you see with Lavender Visions, where you're helping people, come to some kind of determination there. My guest is Joanne Fleischer. Her book is called Living Two Lives, Married to a Man and in Love with a Woman. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay with us.
Enjoy your food, but eat less. A simple way to eat less is to be mindful of what you're eating. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Eat slowly and enjoy the taste and texture of your food. Use hunger and fullness as cues to recognize when you've had enough. Healthy meals start with fruits, vegetables, and smaller portions of proteins and grains. And don't forget to choose low-fat or fat-free dairy. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Visit eatright.org for more healthy tips.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to NellsHealingMinistry.com, we cover the world of animals. This week, January 20th, it's a Diet and Nutrition Sunday on Animal World. Bob Vella from Canine and Feline Caviar will join us live in the studio. We'll continue our discussion about what ingredients really are good and healthy for our dogs and cats to eat and find out why I think this is the best processed food being made today. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Conversations Live has a new Facebook page, and we'd love you to join us there. Click on Like to join our page, and you can share a link to your business or event, or share a few words about yourself and what's happening in your world. You can even recommend future guests or topics. We're easy to find. Just search for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair Facebook, log in, and leave a post. Look forward to meeting you there.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we are talking right now with Joanne Fleischer. We have JJ Virgin coming up around 12:40 today. Joanne Fleischer left her husband as 78. Well, a little after that, this all started for her in 1978 when she fell in love with another woman. That led to her writing the book Living Two Lives, Married to a Man and in Love with a Woman, and to her founding LavenderVisions.com. Tell us a little bit about Lavender Visions, if you would, and why you started that. And okay. It goes along with the book, I know.
Yeah. Well, actually, it started before the book. It started as an online question and answer message board where specifically for married women who were questioning their sexuality and or who had fallen in love with a man, with a woman, and wanting to know what to do. So what it has evolved into is a very large online support network of women who are going through this process. And in the beginning, I answered all the, you know, I responded to everybody's posting. But it's so large today that what happens is women who are on the site respond to each other, and they've developed a really wonderful online support group.
Hmm. I wonder, Joanne, if and maybe you can't answer this. I don't know how much you look at the analytics on your website, but I'm wondering if the age group has anything to do with the number of people on there. Do you see more people like your age, or, you know, when it was less common for people to come out, more difficult for them to come out? Or are they all ages?
No. Actually, it sounds surprising given how much the media has changed and is talking about these issues today, that there are still many, many reasons why women have a hard time coming out after having set up a whole life with a man and often with children. So even though things have really gotten better, it's still extremely difficult. And I would say the average, I run workshops on a regular basis, and the women who come to them, I'd say the average range is early 30s to mid 50s. And I would say early 40s might be the average age. So it's not people of my generation. It's not about people who grew up before this
right.
cultural shift.
Right, interesting. You talk a lot about the intense amount of ambivalence that is there, because most people want to make their marriages work, keep their family together, as did you. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, we talk a lot on this show about authenticity and living your authentic life, being your authentic self. If you have these feelings for another woman, or, you know, and not for your husband anymore, you can't possibly be living an authentic life. So that's where your ambivalence comes in, I'm sure. And the guilt. Talk to us a little bit about how you advise people to cope with that.
Well, one of the things I want that we haven't really talked about directly, but when women first realize that they have an attraction to a woman, or they're beginning to recognize attraction to women, they don't necessarily jump to the conclusion that they are lesbian. And there is a process that people have to go through, because the concept of lesbian is not part of our most people's identity. We all start out believing that we're heterosexual because that's our culture. So a part of this process of breaking through even coming to the authenticity piece really has a part of it is trying to determine whether this is a sexual orientation issue. On occasion, it might just be a one-person issue. It usually isn't, but it can be. And people have to really determine what's most important to them, even if they know that they have a tendency to love women. They may have other values that they have to, you know, really consider and determine for themselves what manner of living will feel most authentic and fit their value system best.
Right. You said earlier that you have a 31 year relationship with your partner, and I'm sorry to hear that she did die in 2011. Big loss for anybody losing a partner of that length of time. And you say in the book that from this painful loss, I developed additional coping skills to manage my grief. I learned the importance of silence to help me access my feelings. Talk to us a little bit about that, if you would.
Okay. Well, I think one of the things that I am a firm believer in, and I think, you know, it's nothing new, but that it's through these times of intense pain and suffering that we learn some of our life's most valuable lessons. And certainly I think the having to break up a marriage and affect the lives of people that I love, my children, my husband, that was a very difficult, excruciating life experience at the time. Out of it came I learned how to live with not knowing what life was going to be after this point. I knew what I was leaving. I didn't know what I was moving into. And that's one of the hardest things for people to face. And the same thing came up when my partner died. I knew what I lost. I knew the life that I had to let go of, and I had no idea what I was facing for my future. And it was something about learning how to live with these times of uncertainty and not knowing exactly what, you know, we just live with the fantasy as if we know what our future is, but there's something very secure about that. When you realize you don't have that, you have to learn how to get calm with it and stay with it and sit with it and let things evolve.
Right. What from all of this learning experience, obviously this, you had many turning points during the course of your experience. What would you say was probably the biggest learning point for you, the biggest aha moment in learning about yourself? Big question.
Well, I don't know whether I would call it an aha moment, but I honestly did feel that if I could negotiate the breakup of my family and negotiate it in a way that I felt good about myself in the end, that there was nothing that I couldn't face in life. And I really did feel that way. I thought that was one of the, you know, one of life's most difficult decision-making processes. And I knew that I would feel like I could do anything after that. And in many ways, that was true.
Mm. And what would you like people, you know, there may be people out there listening today who are feeling, as you did in 1978, very lost, very confused, very alone. What would you like them to know, Joanne?
Well, what I would like them to know is that this kind of situation takes time to figure out, and that it's not, it never feels like you're moving as fast as you should, but you really need to give yourself as much time as you need to make sure that your choices are really coming from inside yourself, not from anybody else or any pressure from anywhere else. And then the other thing is to, I do believe that, you need to have some kind of support, and that there is support available both online, and there are more and more people who can be helpful in making these kind of learning more about yourself so that you feel like you've gone the right track.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about society at large, because there have been many cultural shifts over the last 40 years. But I'm sure from your perspective, you think we need to go through more shifts. So talk to us a little bit about what you'd like to see happen, what needs to change.
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to think that the idea of marriage equality wasn't necessarily where it was at, but the reality is that most people don't understand that that gay people do not have the same rights that other people have. Unless you go through something like, you know, I went through the death of my partner, and I don't have any of the protections of property rights, and you know, I fortunately had a supportive environment where I could have rights to help my partner, and you know, we always made it clear that we were in a gay relationship. But I think our culture needs to open up and make gay relationships legitimate, so that when people are married, if gay people get married, then they'll be treated with the same respect of any married couple, and that they'll have the same rights to get insurance coverage and to get, you know, the property rights and the health care rights, all of those rights that are just taken for granted with married people.
Right. Well, John Fleischer, I thank you for sharing your journey with us and the work that you are doing to help other people who are in the same situation. They can find out more about you at lavendervisions.com. And Joanne's book is called Living Two Lives, Married to a Man and in Love with a Woman. Joanne Fleischer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Vicki. It was very nice being with you.
And again, you can find out more about Joanne's work at lavendervisions.com. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with you soon. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Antioxidants, you've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage, and eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
OMG! Grammar abuses, no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, the Saltwater Buddha. In his new book, The Fear Project, award-winning journalist Jamal Yoga sets out on a chain of wild adventures to better understand fear. Why does it so often dominate our lives? What makes it thrive? And is there a way to use it to our advantage? Then switching from adventures and fear to food, think spicy chicken with green olives from Morocco, bandit slam from Greece, Portuguese pulled pork. Think conversationslive.net every Monday at noon Pacific.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
We're coming live. And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and we are talking in this segment with JJ Virgin. You might have seen her on the PBS special Up Here. I saw that a couple of nights ago. The last 10 years in holistic nutrition and functional medicine have earned JJ Virgin guest recognition as the go-to expert for weight loss, resistance, nutrition, and fitness. She's a 25-year veteran of the health and fitness industry, and has coached high-performance athletes, CEOs, and A-list celebrities. She frequently offers health advice for national TV, radio, and print media, and spent 2 years as the nutrition expert on the Dr. Phil Show, and most recently was the co-host of TLC's Freaky Eaters. Her new book is called The Virgin Diet, Why Food Intolerance is the Real Cause of Weight Gain. JJ Virgin, welcome.
You know, it just sounds so smart and sophisticated when you say it. I was just like getting enthralled with the way you say it.
It's like, is that me?
Wow. Gosh, I sound good.
Well, this is a very good book, very interesting, and lots to talk about. But tell us a little bit about how you, first of all, you got interested in the health and food, health and fitness industry.
You know, it's funny, I've never not been interested in it. I grew up in Berkeley, California, so, it's sort of like you're into health, whether you want to be or not. And I was always an athlete, so I was always looking for that edge. And I went away to college to be an actress and kind of morphed into the whole exercise science and nutrition world, and now it's 40 graduate courses later. But along the way, it was really clear to me. I started out as one of the first personal trainers in the country. It was me and Body by Jake. And in L.A.
I remember that.
Yes, I so am dating myself. Anyway, but, you know, it was really clear that whole thing we were being taught in school, which is, you know, if you want to lose weight, your body's bank account, you put less in, you know, and expend more, calories in, calories out, bank account model. And it wasn't working for all my clients. And at first, I got to be honest, Vicki, I thought, well, you know, you're cheating. And then I started to really watch these people. I actually went away with a group of them for a week, and I realized the people who were not having success were so disciplined, so diligent. They were working hard, but it wasn't working for them. And I thought, well, what if they're just following the wrong set of rules? You know, what if we've got this equation wrong? And so I set out to figure out why they were what I call weight loss resistant. And along the way, I was working in doctor's offices, and I was using a food sensitivity test to help their patients with gas and bloating and joint pain and brain fog and feeling old and tired. And, you know, it was interesting. You know, and everyone's like, yeah, that's me. But the same foods kept showing up in these tests. Same foods. And this was looking at, like, delayed reactions causing these symptoms. So same foods showed up, and we would pull the foods out. Matter of days, those symptoms were, like, gone. They were craving the very foods hurting them. The cravings went away. The symptoms go away. And they'd lose weight like crazy. And I wish I could say, hey, you know, in like a couple months, I thought this should be a weight loss program, but literally it was a couple years. I kind of went, you know, the light bulb went on. And because the clients were telling me, they're like, oh my gosh, I love that test because it helps me lose weight. And I finally was like, you know, I don't actually need to test because it's always the same foods.
Right.
Let's just use your body to test, because I knew which foods were the big, you know, the big bad seven. And I knew most people were reacting to at least four of them, and I figured we'll just pull them out for 3 weeks. That's the best way to check, and then we'll challenge them back one at a time and see which work and which don't, and create a program that works for them for the long haul.
And you go as far as to say, drop seven foods, lose 7 pounds in just 7 days.
My clients have shown me that when they pull the seven foods out, the average client loses 7 pounds. 7 days, and I wouldn't have believed it. And it's so funny, Vicki, because all over my Facebook page now, and there's some that only lose 2 to 3, to be fair, and there's some that have lost 12, which really blows my mind. But, you know, when you're intolerant to food, whether it's because of genetic reasons or immune reasons or hormonal reasons, it creates inflammation. That's the end result. And so when you pull these foods out, the cravings go down, you feel better fast, but the inflammation drops like crazy, and you also lose fat along with it. But that's that first week, it's such a rapid shift. You don't lose 7 pounds every week.
Oh, right.
Let's be honest. The first week, the average is 7. Then you go into your more normal, you know, like 2 or 3 pounds a week. And it is funny because I had someone say, I lost 9 pounds the first week and then only 3 the next. And I'm going, and you're complaining about this? You're complaining?
<It's pretty>
Seriously?
You know? So, and some of these foods are in what some people would consider a healthful diet.
Yes, most of them.
Yeah. So let's look at those top seven high FI foods, as you call them, food intolerant foods.
High FI, and that is because we mean high food intolerant foods. These are the ones most likely. Again, you may not be reacting to every single one of them, but I know that at least one or two, but most people it's like, you know, 4 or so. And there's some of them in here that honestly just shouldn't be a part of a healthy diet, even though we believe they are healthy. I mean, corn's a great example of that. We eat popcorn to get skinny, yet we feed cows and pigs corn to fatten them up. This is silly. You know, corn basically is not a vegetable, it's a starch. And one of the more pro-inflammatory reactive ones at that, it just turns into sugar the minute you put it into your mouth. So corn's one, soy's one, that always blows people's mind. But this is one of the most genetically modified crops out there, and so processed. And then dairy, eggs, peanuts, gluten, sugar, and artificial sweeteners. And if you're listening to that list and you go, oh my gosh, that's everything I eat, what I say to that is fantastic. You're going to see amazing results. And what I do to make this easy for people, because it would just be flat out mean to just say, hey, just pull those things out, you know, good luck.
Right.
Is we give you really easy swaps that you can use in place of these foods. And what I find so often, I mean, these are the things I hear. You know, people first flip out and they go, how am I going to give up my cheese or my bread, because they're addicted to them. And then they do have a drug-like effect on the brain. We go through and we do the swaps for each of the different foods, and they do it for 3 weeks, 100%. You can't cheat on this because you got to give your immune system a break. At the end of 3 weeks, all the swaps we've done, like trading your eggs for a good morning protein shake and trading your Greek-style yogurt for coconut yogurt and your soy milk for coconut milk and your gluten pasta for rice pasta or quinoa pasta, all these little things we've done, at the end of 3 weeks, they're like, you know, I think I like those swaps better. And this is when they're supposed to challenge the high-fi foods back. They're like, I don't want to, you know?
Right, right.
So that's the number one thing I hear from everybody is they like the foods better because they get used to it. And then they just go, all right, you know, I'm happy. I feel great. I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah. Well, I know I don't like pastas and rice and that kind of stuff. Just it makes me feel yuck. There's no other word for it.
Heavy, doesn't it? I don't feel good. I'll eat a little bit. I eat a load, and this is what I teach people: eat a lot of clean, lean protein, and that can be. I use a vegan potato, chlorella, and pea protein blend because it's very low on the potential allergenicity scale. I do wild fish, grass-fed beef. I know up in Seattle, man, I've had some amazing grass-fed beef up there at that restaurant. The Ninth. No, that was in Portland. Oops, sorry. But
no, we do hate tea.
You guys do. Portland, Seattle, great coffee and great grass-fed beef. So you're on the. You guys have such great access to wonderful food there.
We do.
Huh?
I say we do. We do.
Yes.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you, you say, because sometimes I love milk, and dairy is one of those things that we need to pull out in the initial test. And I just sometimes really crave a glass of milk. And you say if we crave it, that could be indicative of an issue.
Well, so for delayed food sensitivities, what happens is we have, you know, you eat food, passes through the stomach. Hopefully you've got good stomach acids, start breaking down the protein, although most of us, if we're over the age of 30 or under any kind of stress, don't. If you've had any stressful situations, like I'm always going, where's the person who's not under stress? You've eaten gluten, you eat get fructose in your food, either from, say, agave because you think it's healthy, or high fructose corn syrup, or maybe you're doing juice or dried fruit. If you're doing pain meds, these things all loosen the tight junctions in your gut. Gluten does too. And so you eat food, you don't digest it well. These poorly digested proteins then get into your small intestine, pass out in circulation where they have no business being. Your body goes, oops, these are not supposed to be here, creates antibodies, launches an immune attack, and the immune complexes that form build up. If you were eating it every once in a while, they wouldn't build up. But even a little bit every day, those immune complexes build up. Your body can't get rid of them fast enough. And they create all those symptoms I talked about earlier, like fatigue and gas and bloating and joint pain. But if you don't eat it for a day or two, or even a day, those little antibodies that your body has created to help deal with the proteins that shouldn't be there, they're wondering where the food is because they're specific to the food. And so you're going, where's that dairy? Where's that dairy?
Oh,
right? You'll start to crave it. And it takes a couple days until you get over that. And I like to reframe everything, you know? So if you are craving it, that's great information.
Now, a lot of... We were bombarded up here with adverts recently about fructose just being another form of sugar. You have very strong opinions on that.
Yeah, it's way worse than another form of sugar.
So tell us why.
Well, because your body doesn't handle it like any other sugar. I mean, artificial sweeteners, let's get those off the table. They don't work. They cause weight gain. They don't work. And they're, you know, there's all sorts of problems with them. But sugar, you know, it seems like all sugar is sugar. So people think, oh, but it's raw honey. It's this. No, it's all sugar. But fructose is actually different. And remember, fructose is just part of the sugar in fruit. So it's not just fructose in fruit. People get confused about that. Agave is actually the highest place to get fructose. But fructose is different because it goes straight to the liver where it starts making fat. And because it does that, it actually doesn't trigger your satiety signals. So you are still hungry and you're making fat.
Okay, so that makes sense. And
so that's not a good, you know, it's like a really bad situation.
Yeah. And we know fat leads to more fat, so we definitely don't want that.
And inflammation and insulin resistance, and just it just goes downhill fast.
You also have a strong opinion on the glycemic index. Segue into that.
Well, you know, the glycemic index has some pros and cons. The only place I really use it is to look at fruits and vegetables and carbohydrates and go, okay, what can we see here? Because, like, let's say you look at dairy. Dairy's low on the glycemic index, but it's also very insulin-provoking. See, the challenge is the glycemic index looks at what happens with your blood sugar, but if something is something can actually not impact your blood sugar so much, but really impact your insulin. And by the way, that is one of the things that fructose does. Fructose is low on the glycemic index, but it perturbs insulin metabolism. Now, there's another issue too. Like, you look at something like a carrot, and it's really high on the glycemic index.
Right.
And that would be an issue if you were drinking carrot juice. But if you're having, like, some grated carrots on your salad, that's not a problem, because there's not just the index, there's also the load. So you want to look at, like, most people, if they're going to eat a baked potato, they're eating the whole one. It's high on the glycemic index, and you got a lot of it, so you got a big glycemic load. But most people aren't going to go eat, you know, a pound of carrots.
Right.
They're going to have some grated carrots or a couple baby carrots with their celery in there, whatever.
Right.
You know, so that's why you've got to look at it. Not in isolation as a good as a bad. The one thing that the glycemic index tends to help us with is looking at, you know, things that are lower on the glycemic index tend to be lower because they have more fiber, and that's a good thing.
Mm. Moderation. This is what my grandmother always used to say, moderation, everything in moderation. You say no.
Well, you know, back in those days, we could say that because we didn't have all the processed food we have now, which now has corn, gluten, soy, eggs, peanuts, sugar and artificial sweeteners, and all of it. And the challenge is, with food intolerance, it's that little bit that's triggering the big response. Like, for me, I had a little bit of foamy milk every day on an Americano, and it was creating a massive problem for me. So it's the little bit on a regular basis. It's the moderation that actually can create the problem.
Right. And so if we're intolerant to the food, why is it causing us to gain weight? It's causing inflammation in the body.
Couple different reasons. Number one, you're going to start to crave the very food that's hurting you.
Right.
You could overeat. Number two, because it's creating inflammation. Inflammation is its own risk factor, for obesity, because it causes hormone resistance. Everything, when you get down to it, food is information because of the hormonal response it has, and hormones dictate everything. So if you're creating inflammation, your hormones cannot communicate as well. So insulin resistance can happen. That means insulin's up higher than it should be. And what happens with insulin resistance, leptin resistance, cortisol resistance, the end result of all of those is that you're better at storing fat, worse at burning it off, and hungrier.
Well, it all makes a lot of sense to me, and I've read a lot of stuff on nutrition. I'm not an expert by any means, but this makes incredible sense to me. And I have already cut out, I've been trying coconut milk in my coffee, which is a change.
But you know, there's coconut creamer with no sugar. Like, it's got 1 gram of sugar. It's coconut creamer. They use monk fruit, and it's great.
Mm, okay, well, I'll try that then. And you're not suggesting that we have to take these foods out forever. We take them out for a three-week period.
Three weeks.
We test, and we gradually introduce one in and see how we react.
Exactly. And you can do anything for 3 weeks. My gosh.
Awesome. Awesome. Great work. I thank you for being with us. I want to let
listeners
know you have a fantastic website, and there are free downloads on there. There's free
free
workout videos. And
yes, loads of free, my favorite word.
And if you are vegan, there's a vegan adaption.
Vegan,
yes,
yep.
A vegan guide.
Mm-hmm.
And
agnostic here at the Virgin Diet.
There you go. And also, there's a great blog out there that answers a ton of questions. So, JJ Virgin, final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Final thought is, hey, it is just 3 weeks. What I really want you to get from this is get your hope back. If you've struggled, tried everything, and it hasn't worked, do this.
All right. Thank you so much. And JJ's book is The Virgin Diet, Why Food Intolerance is the Real Cause of Weight Gain. And her website, jjvirgin.com, loads of free good stuff up there to help you get healthy. And try this out if you're interested. It makes a lot of sense to me. And that's it for today, folks. We will be back next week with an all new live show again. And if you have questions or comments on today's show, you can reach me at info@conversationslive.net. That's info@conversationslive.net. Or you can call our 800 number. It goes straight to a voicemail box that I check. It's 800-495-7617. 800-495-7617. And as always, I'd love to encourage you to write in with any questions for upcoming guests. We did include a couple of listener questions in the first segment, but they wanted to remain anonymous. We're always happy to do that. So info@conversationslive.net is where you can send those questions. We'll see you next week. Until then, live well, live strong. Thanks for tuning into Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.